Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
On today's Fantasy Baseball in 15, we'll look at the impact of a difficult weekend for the Mets.
Like death and taxes, Dodgers get a Dodger.
I have not had three cold brews yet.
It works great in a fantasy league.
I'm just glad I am not at the dentist.
Fantasy Baseball in 15 on The Athletic.
This is Fantasy Baseball in 15 for Monday, May 17th. I'm Al Melchior, and with me here to kick off the week is Derek Van Riper and DVR. Rough weekend for the Mets, both in terms of the scoreboard and in terms of the injury list, and we'll get to that shortly. But we've got an update here on Corey Seager that he is not going to need surgery on his broken hand. However, there is no timetable yet for Seager's return to the Dodgers. So good news, I suppose. I would think that would shorten up the timetable, but for us right now, in terms of decision-making, it's a bit of a standstill. But another piece of information that came out from The Athletic's Fabian Ardaia is that Gavin Lux is going to be the team's primary shortstop. Not really a surprise, but what are your thoughts on Lux going forward now that it would seem that his playing time is going to be solidified there? Do you think he will live up to the prospect hype of a couple of years ago with regular playing time?
Yeah, I think this, you know, unfortunately for Seager, is one of those things that really stabilizes Gavin Lux for the time that Seager is out. Because if Lux continued to play at the level he's played at to this point, you could have seen a scenario where the Dodgers might have sent him back to AAA for a brief stretch. And now that probably can't happen just because of the lack of options at short, unless they decide to make Chris Taylor the regular shortstop at some point in the next couple of weeks. So I do think Lux will deliver on his potential. He's one of those guys, you look at his numbers, age to level, when he did make that stop at AAA previously, he was incredible. And I think he can be the kind of guy that develops into a steady middle-of-the-order run producer who also steals some bases on a team as loaded as the current Dodgers. Maybe he's still stuck in the bottom half of the lineup, but with Seager out, everybody moves up into a more prominent spot. So I'm in on Lux for these next few weeks because I think he's much more stable now than he might have been had Seager been healthy.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'm all in on Jazz Chisholm, but I know that's not going out on any sort of limb. That's not, contrary to most people's opinion. But if you needed some reassurance with him coming back from the IL, you got it on Sunday against the Dodgers. Chisholm in the lineup and going 2-for-5 with his 8th stolen base of the season. So great to see there from him. A couple notes here for the Diamondbacks. Ketel Marte is going to begin a rehab assignment at AAA Reno on Monday, so he is nearing a return. Luke Weaver left his start on Sunday against the Nationals with shoulder discomfort. That's pretty thin rotation situation there already. No timetable, of course, or indication of the severity, but we'll hopefully know more about Weaver's situation shortly. Jose Urquidy placed on the injured list by the Astros. He's got shoulder inflammation. Aaron Hicks also on the Yankees injured list with a left wrist sprain. So number of injuries here that we'll need to take into account this week, looking for replacements on our fantasy rosters. But DVR, let's zero in on the Mets here because they've been dealing with injuries for a while now anyway. And just more bad news on Sunday, their game at Tampa Bay. Michael Conforto and Jeff McNeil leaving that contest early, both with hamstring injuries. So we'll tack them onto the list that we'll consider later on in terms of whether to start or sit them this week. But also, Brandon Nimmo looked like he was on the verge of coming back, and now his rehab assignment has been shut down, so he's not coming back quite as quickly from that finger injury as we had hoped. So we'll save the question for how you deal with these players for the coming week. But how about the pitchers going against them? Because this could be a really depleted Mets lineup for the coming week. And a couple of pitchers that are going to face them, Drew Smyly and Pablo Lopez, with the series against the Braves and the Marlins on tap. Those seem like maybe the pitchers that would most likely maybe get a notable bump for this coming week. So would that sway you in a start-sit decision for either Smyly or Lopez?
Yeah, if both Conforto and McNeil were to go on the IL at some point on Monday, so we knew going into the week that they weren't going to be available, that would be enough of a downgrade for that lineup as a whole where I'd actually start both Lopez and Smyly in that matchup.
All right. Well, we do have a number of players, including those that we mentioned for the Mets, that we've got some dilemmas with. I'm just going to go ahead and ask the question in regard to Jacob deGrom, because he is slated to throw a bullpen session on Tuesday. And I would think that depending on how he feels on Wednesday, that's going to determine whether or not we see him on the mound this week. But he could start for the Mets as soon as this Friday at the Marlins. So with no further information, fortunately, we do have kind of a late lineup lock on Monday, but with no further information, do you go ahead and leave DeGrom in your rotation?
I probably will in most circumstances. I'll look if I'm passing on a two-start pitcher for a guy that's amazing but might not make his turn this week. In that case, you know, I'm going to go with the two-start options. But I think if you're looking at the fringy, you know, waiver wire grade starters in most leagues compared to the possibility of getting that start from DeGrom, I'd want to err on the side of getting DeGrom's start. I'll take the risk and possibly take the zero if he's not quite ready to go by the end of the week.
All right. And again, could start this coming weekend, so you're not necessarily going to be saddled with that zero. Brandon Belt was scratched on Sunday at Pittsburgh with side tightness. Darren Ruff made the start in his place at first base, so there's another situation to watch as the lineup block approaches. Let's take a look at some closer news from Sunday. Kendall Graveman got his fifth save of the season against Cleveland. So he is now not only notched that extra save, but he's up to 15 and two-thirds scoreless innings on the season. He's only 51% rostered in CBS leagues, where those roster rates tend to be higher than the other sites. That's quite amazing. I understand DVR. I understand why, because I guess technically that's still a committee situation there. But it certainly looks like Graveman is pulling away as the one who's going to have the most value from here on out.
If we're talking about partial closers especially, he's actually one of my favorite committee closers available anywhere right now. It's hard to believe there are still 50% of CBS leagues almost where he's out there right now. I'm buying into what he's doing. The velo's up. He's basically a three-pitch reliever sitting in the 95-96 range with the fastball now. So this is a totally different guy than the one that we saw trying to make it as a starter for a few years in Oakland. And it wasn't like he was a horrible starter. It was just that he was a low strikeout rate guy, dependent on keeping the ball on the ground. So he wasn't all that enticing for us. So I'm definitely in on reliever Kendall Graveman. I love this move by Seattle.
Yeah, no, I do too. And I'm sure that roster rate is going to rise, but maybe now's the time to add before maybe you can't in the near future. We've talked about Taylor Rogers quite a bit on recent episodes, first spurred by comments from Gabe Kapler that he'll be in the saves mix, then more recently some struggles from Jake McGee. So Rogers did get that save, he did get the save for the Giants on Sunday at Pittsburgh. I hesitated there, DVR, because Taylor Rogers, the other Rogers twin, he lost to the A's on a wild pitch. So it's been up and down for Taylor Rogers too. So while we've got that Giants situation that's a bit fluid and looking like a committee now, maybe it's the same for the Twins, where we recently saw Hansel Robles pick up a save, and then we've got Taylor Rogers pitching in tie game and taking the loss.
Yeah, I mean, I could definitely see Minnesota going the committee route, and if they did that, I would still expect Taylor Rogers to have comparable value to Hansel Robles. We talked about Robles on the Athletic Fantasy Baseball podcast. The big concern for me, the walk rate is back to where it typically is with him. At least the velo has bounced back closer to 2019 levels. So I do see Robles as a less appealing option than Graveman in the leagues where both are available, but I would say Robles is rosterable, at least in mixed leagues that have 15 or more teams. And previously, he was pretty much an AL-only guy. So definitely a guy who's pushed his way onto the mixed league radar with some of the things happening in that pen.
Yeah, that's for sure. Let's take a look back more broadly at what happened on Sunday. And for a change, a little bit of offense on the Sunday slate of games. It's been a pitching-heavy season, and particularly the past week or so. But we will start with some pitchers here. Josh Fleming with five really solid innings against those Mets that we just talked about. Five scoreless with one hit, no walks, five strikeouts. Now, Fleming is a guy that is, maybe Kendall Graveman 2.0, going to put the ball on the ground, not going to really miss a whole lot of contact. But you've also got the Rays situation where, maybe he gets piggybacked here and there, but the results have been good.
Yeah, and I keep saying, like, the thing with Fleming that makes me trust them is that they've had success with Ryan Yarbrough, and Fleming actually throws harder than Yarbrough, so it's not like you're still looking at 87, 88 with the fastball. I do think you want to be careful with some of the more difficult matchups that come up for the Rays from time to time. I'd be careful throwing him against the Red Sox, especially at Fenway as a lefty. The Yankees are still a matchup that I would be kind of fearful of with a guy like that. But I would say he's tracking towards being in lineups about two-thirds of the time where rostered. All of his home starts, for the most part, I think are usable. And there are definitely some spots on the road, even in division, where I trust them, specifically Baltimore. I mean, I know Camden Yards is hitter-friendly, but that's not a lineup that I'm afraid of right now.
All right, well, let's move to the hitters. They've waited long enough. Again, a lot of pitchers featured in this segment lately. Ian Happ, just second game back from the injured list for him in a big game, 3-for-4 against the Cardinals in St. Louis. He homered, that was actually in Detroit, homered and doubled. So I had Cardinals on the brain because I'm looking ahead and seeing where I would feel comfortable starting Happ. So there are three games in the coming weekend at St. Louis, and before that, four games at home versus the Nationals. So Ian Happ, 15-teamer at this point, or can we go a little shallower?
I think you get out of 12s. I think there's a chance that he leads off a lot when healthy, and I liked him coming into the year. I mean, he gets on base, he has power, runs a little, so I'm in on Ian Happ. I'm glad he's healthy again. That was a really scary collision that knocked him out for a few days.
Yeah, no, it's great to see him back, absolutely. And then a couple of Phillies, just kind of an interesting situation, and this is going to be a bit of a precursor to our weekly planner segment, looking at the Phillies' injuries, but that's provided an opportunity for Brad Miller and Nick Maton to play a bit more. And Miller's really, they've both really taken advantage of it. Miller on Sunday at Toronto going 2-for-5 with his first two stolen bases of the season, and Maton his first two homers of the season in a three-hit game. And Maton's really been hitting pretty consistently. So, I mean, I think Maton in particular, his playing time is going to depend on how soon Didi Gregorius comes back. So we're looking at both the players themselves and their opportunities. So is it worth starting them maybe in some deeper leagues this week?
Yeah, pretty much NL-only leagues only, though, for Maton for me at this point. I don't know if I really trust the bat enough to use him in a mixed league right now.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, and just a few streamers on the Monday slate. Logan Webb at Cincinnati, they'll be going with Sonny Gray. John Lester against the Cubs in Wrigley Field, his former team. Jay Happ playing the other team from Chicago, facing the White Sox and Dallas Keuchel. And then we've got a pair of potential streamers here, Casey Mize and Yusei Kikuchi facing off against each other. Nice matchups, right? Kikuchi gets to face the Tigers, Mize gets the Mariners. So maybe a double streamer situation there?
Yeah, I like Kikuchi just a little more than Mize, but I think Mize has pitched better than some people have noticed lately. So I would say he's an easy second for me. If I had to start one of the other three guys, I think it's Logan Webb against the Reds, but I'm not endorsing him as someone that everyone should go out and start. I just think he's a slightly better option than John Lester and Jay Happ, given their respective matchups.
Okay, and let's wind up here with some start-sit dilemmas based on injuries. Ronald Acuna Jr. with a sore ankle for the last few days. I mean, if there's anybody you start no matter what, it's pretty much him, but any concerns there?
He pinch hit late in the game on Sunday, so I'm expecting him to play and planning on using him in weekly leagues.
All right, and then the three Phillies I alluded to earlier, Bryce Harper with the shoulder injury, JT Realmuto now dealing with a wrist injury, and Didi Gregorius with that elbow that's kept him out for a few games. So rolling with any or all of those three.
I think the only one that I'm currently worried about, and this could change Monday throughout the day, is Didi Gregorius. He hasn't played since Wednesday, so the Phillies have an off day Monday. I think we may have to wait until Tuesday to actually get the official word on him. So have an option ready to go who's first game isn't Monday, because if you get locked out on that, you have to make that decision prior to getting more information on Didi. But I actually think he's the guy I'm most worried about of those players.
Alrighty, and then a couple of the Mets that we talked about, Michael Conforto, Jeff McNeil, do these hamstring injuries maybe allow you to rationalize benching them just because the production has been disappointing anyway?
Yeah, and I think in the case of McNeil especially, he's had other leg injuries recently, so it might be in the Mets' best interest to give him 10 days to try to get his legs right.
All right. Well, just let all that soak in. Make sure you get your lineups set before the later lineup block on this Monday. And that's going to be it for this episode of Fantasy Baseball in 15. If you can just take a moment to rate and review this podcast, we would greatly appreciate that. And with that said, for Derek Van Riper, I'm Al Melchior, and we will be right back here on Tuesday.